What's up?
Last on podcast, episode 4. Y'all kept on asking me when I was going to put the motherfucking podcast out. So now I'm pushing out episodes down there every day. Told y'all I got shit to do. But shout out to tonight's guest.
Local comedian, Black Charles, introducing to some, presenting to others.
What's going on? What's going on, Black Charles? Darkest nigga I know that's not African or Haitian descent. Here on the podcast, just trying to show love to the people.
Well, on the Learn Something podcast, the basis of this is basically about sharing information amongst each other as men, men first. But since you're a comedian, and let's give some people some background. How long have you been a quote unquote real comedian?
For me, I never thought I could say that I was a real comedian until I jumped on the stage. It took for a couple real life situations to go on for me to really jump out and do it. And my homeboy Tenario, my family members, they was just like, do it. And Tenario brought me to Legacy, and I jumped out here July 13th. It was a Tuesday at Word Up. Shout out to Energy, Lewis, everybody that supports Word Up, everybody that supports Legacy. I came in the building, and Tenario signed my name on the paper. He was like, you going to get your ass up there and do it.
Now, that's like being pushed in deep water. Now, were you always considered like a funny person, or was you like class clown? Did you get used in conduct?
First off, I come from a funny family. Like, just people, all my life, I've been called dark, black. One of my aunties called me monkey to this day, because she said when I came out, I looked like a baby monkey. She just kept that going. All my friends, everybody that know me, call me Black Charles. But like, I come from a funny family, and then I went to Berkeley. If anybody know Berkeley, we did a lot of joking, a lot of joning. I ain't really consider myself a funny person, but others around me, they laugh when I say certain things.
And so
it was just.
So you've always been naturally a funny person. You decided to act out funny. Who would you say would be your comedic influences as far as people that you've always admired, either maybe as a comedic actor or just a comedian, period? Just, you know, any comedians that you really did listen to or look at?
First and foremost, one person that I looked at that was close to Cedric the Entertainer actually graduated from Berkeley High School. His mother was actually one of my teachers in elementary school. Good lady, cool lady. But I got a chance to meet Ced in high school. He was just a cool dude, and I always thought he was hilarious. But who I really looked at was like Eddie Murphy also. Richard Pryor. I got older parents. My mom was 35. My daddy was 40 when I was born. So I get a lot of older influences, like Red Fox. I listen to some of his tapes, a lot of his tapes, actually. Legendary stuff. Like, I love Dave Chappelle. People that can give a story. Like, I like Deion Cole. Anybody that can give a story.
Deion's a great writer.
Great, great writer.
Now, have you ever tripped off people who are good writers, great writers, but not so much quote unquote great comedians, like Charlie Murphy?
Yeah, because it's different when you jumping on that stage, like, and hold people's attention. That's the craziest part. Like, Charlie Murphy can hold your attention, man, with his stories. Like, he just. You got to pull people in. And being on that stage is different.
That's why I try to tell people. It's easy to be funny, but it's hard to make people laugh.
it extremely hard because you coming out there and they just straight face looking at you.
Right.
All they know is you who you say you are. Then you got to make them believe you funny as you think you are.
Now, have you had a time where I had a comedian tell me recently, you're not a real comedian until you get booed.
I believe in that and the quiet audience. I don't know what's worse. I was talking to some comedians last night, and we was like, what's worse, getting booed or people not saying nothing? Somebody just staring at you blank-faced or somebody booing you?
Right. You know who George Wallace is?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
George Wallace is one of my favorite comedians.
George Wallace is a cold brother.
I looked at his unsung. George Wallace said he was in Buffalo. Did a show, 45 minutes, no laughs.
It's brutal.
I've told a couple of different people this. Try to explain to people what it's like for 4 minutes if ain't nobody laughing. Just 4 minutes. How long that feel?
It's like you drowning and everybody looking at you.
Right.
You just drowning and you trying to swim. You trying to come up. Nope. Ain't no air. They just looking at you, sucking all the life out you.
Right.
And they don't care and they don't know. They just like, you supposed to be funny. And then you don't make them laugh. Oh, Lord.
Can you imagine 45 minutes?
I would look. Some people would run. Some people would just get up out of there.
That, I don't know what.
That's balls, man.
I don't know if I could continue to do comedy.
To stay up there. Because I've been up there for like a good 3 minutes and people looked at me like, what you doing? Mm-hmm. I thought I should have told poetry one night. Shit, it was so bad. I was like, shit.
That's wild. Because like I said, it takes balls or it hardens you.
It does. It's something you, I think everybody got to go through it. You got to get booed. You got to get that stale crowd. And you got to have technical difficulties. I think all that is a part of it. And in my little baby-ass time of being what I call a comedian, mm-hmm. I've experienced those things.
And that's good because you're getting the chance to see it early. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And getting a chance to experience it, period. Because, mm-hmm. And it's 9 o'clock already. Time went flying past. But we're getting ready for tonight's show to start Wing It Wednesday here at Legacy. Shout out to our sponsors, Too Much Sauce St. Louis.
Too Much Sauce. Shout out to Too Much Sauce, for real. Another thing that kept me back coming to Legacy, I ain't going to lie, it's Too Much Sauce. I ain't going to lie to y'all. I love chicken on some real stuff. And the sauce that you, the sweet Henny sauce. Seriously, man. I'm going to get something about 10 minutes.
Like Dave Chappelle said, genetically predisposed to eating chicken.
We are, man. I eat chicken every day. I had chicken for lunch at work. I had Raisin Cane's early, but I said, I can't wait to come to Legacy and get this goddamn
time. I'm not going to waste your money on the Raisin Cane's. But anyway.
it was trash.
The first time that you actually, like you said, when he signed you up that night, did you have feelings of anxiety, nervousness?
Oh, man, like, absolutely. I've gotten on stage before in, like, high school plays or stuff like that, but when you get up there and it's just you solo, you don't have no background dancers, you ain't got no music to drown you out. You have to come with it. And it's an experience.
Now, do you like try to memorize your material? Do you write your jokes down? What's your process? It's like when do you see something and like, you know, think like, you know what, it's a joke in it? Or do something pop in your head and you be like, damn, I need to go ahead and put this in my phone or something, you know, so I don't forget this shit. You know, because we both smoke a lot of weed and we know how that goes.
Yep. Smoking a lot of weed, I have to write stuff down. I have to record myself when I'm thinking of something that I think is funny. But honestly, like, I come off my real life situation. Like, I see so much funny stuff every day in my life. This shit has to be recorded. Somebody has to talk about these things. So why not me?
And see, like, my former job, As working out in the public, same as you, like when you, like with the position that you said you had, when you seeing the public every day, people don't believe some of the things that go on in the hood or just in not everywhere. Even so much in the hood, but everywhere. Now, everywhere.
With me, like, I deliver furniture right now, man, and I've been doing it for a minute. I've been everywhere in Missouri, in Illinois. I've even delivered down in Texas and stuff. It's something different I see every day. People are hilarious. People are weird. But it's certain things that bring people together. It's certain things that you can't get away from, like your family. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's certain things you can't get away from. And you can't.
They smoke weed in the country.
Everybody smoke weed.
Just like they do in the city.
Everybody smoke weed. In the country. Man, I saw cotton fields the other day, man.
I saw some down in Caruthersville.
That's exactly where I was delivering it.
You weren't delivering to, I don't want to say my, but when I saw it, it tripped me out because I had been down there a few times before and then trip off of it. And then, but they told me, my oldest son lives there with his fiance and a couple of my grandkids. Shout out to my grandson, King Malik Hill.
Shout out to my grandkid.
But when I saw the cotton fields, it was right next to this gas station I had been to a couple of times.
It shake you a little bit.
And I was like, damn, that's cotton. And then they was like, yeah, you get paid $100 a day to pick cotton.
And they dead ass serious, like.
$100 a day.
The people I deliver to, I asked the lady about it. I was like, y'all got cotton fields right up. Yeah, about $100 a day. You can go pick cotton. And I looked at her, I said, don't ever look at me and say no shit like that.
I know if I was in Caruthersville, I would never be broke.
Hell no. But I wouldn't tell no damn. You can't tell nobody what the fuck you do.
How you gonna put that on a job application? what was your previous job? I maintain fabrics. And I maintain fabrics on a farm. I was in charge of maintaining fabrics. I mean, you gotta try to dress that shit up some kind of way.
Oh, for fuck real? That. I pick cotton in Caruthersville. Hey, what the fuck I'm put on that shit?
I wouldn't do that.
you might not get the job, but you told the truth, though. They can't say you lied on your application. I guess you gotta dress it up. You're supposed to dress it up.
A motherfucker would be like, damn, you actually did. You won't do anything.
Our ancestors are mad right now that we dressing up cotton picking. Right. Because they doing it in 2020.
Right. They all like, man, hold the fuck up, nigga.
I could have got $100 a day. God damn.
Right. Right.
Now they paying $100 a day to pick cotton.
And when you think about it, though, like you said, it shook you up a little bit.
Because
you think about, damn, they was up here from sun up to sundown.
And
there wasn't no government mandated breaks.
And to know that Missouri was one of the last states that they, you know, they fought against it. They fought against slavery. They fought against releasing them slaves, man. That's... And then to see that cotton field.
It's like, man, it was very real here. It was very real.
Absolutely.
But I'm glad we got a chance to get into this conversation. Excuse me. Because people need to know this new and up and coming comics out, you know what I'm saying, and to get him a shot, get him a chance. It's ironic that you said it about Cedric, because I used to see Cedric in a setting like this at a club called The Wiz a long time ago. Every Thursday night was ladies night and amateur night. Cedric would win every week. Every week he won. And he this was like 89, 90. And he just started blowing up. Soon after that, Guy Tori is so down to earth and cool. It's ridiculous.
See, I ain't never get a chance to meet them dudes. I can't wait to meet these guys. Like,
do you remember when Cedric used to do like a celebrity weekend?
Mm-hmm.
I was working at this hotel, and they were coming in. A lot of the stars were staying at the hotel at the airport, and met Kim Whitley, Guy Tori, Wood Harris. Wood Harris is about 30 degrees cooler than what he looked.
He looked hella cool. Like,
hey, it was 1 o'clock in the morning. me, Woodhurst, Guy Tory, and one of my coworkers had an hour-long conversation. One time in the morning, dog. Yeah. That's how down earth and cool they were. I see why Cedric had invited them particularly. You know what I'm saying? Because these people were supremely down to earth to just have conversations with us.
That'd be the dopest thing. Like, I just talking to people, man. You find out so much.
When you get a chance to meet a quote unquote celebrity, and they don't have no big head, it's just a great feeling.
True.
I remember I was working at the airport at Avis. And Westside Connection was coming in. And I'm a huge Cube fan. But only thing I could think about was the song, Get Off My Dick, Nigga, and Tell Your Bitch to Come Here. You know, in the line, he got a line in the song that says, Shake my hand and make it a firm shake. Say, what up, White Ice Cube, and then break. I'm like, damn, man, that's my cat.
Like, I want to speak.
But damn, in the song, he said, just shake my hand and get on about it. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, well, all right, then.
I ain't want to fan out.
Right. This little bitty ass dude. I'm sitting up here. I'm 6 feet tall. I'm for the moment, I don't want to go out like no fucking groupie.
Hey,
but,
that's how I feel when I met Seth. I ain't want to go out like no groupie.
But you was in high school, though.
True, but still.
I'm the wrong fucking man.
Yeah, it is a difference. You don't wanna, hey, bro, what's up, man?
You know, start seawalking and shit. Fuck out of here. Fuck you. Hey, you need a roadie? You 30. Fucking roadie. But I would have been a muff. If I ain't had no wife and kids, shit, hey. I'd throw a W up in the middle. Yeah,
crib walking with Dub C. You need help.
Right. As a matter of fact, then, who you think is a better crib walker, Dub C or the dude? You ever seen the video for Seawalk?
Yes.
You know the dude I'm talking about.
I don't think nobody fucking with Dub C, man. I'm sorry, dog.
Man, that dude in that Seawalk video is killing Dub C. And Dub C got a nice ass Seawalk. I'm up here talking like I'm a former crip or something. But I know a lot of them. Shout out to y'all. You know y'all in the gang life, but you know.
Yeah, shout out to y'all.
When this war jump off, we know we got some warriors. Mm-hmm. Anyway, though, when it comes to Seawalking, that dude who on that Seawalk video by Corrupt,
he was killing it, man. I can't lie.
Hey,
it's just
I know somebody who
Dub C put so much heart into it, dog. Like you could,
man. Yeah, Dub C look like he might tear his ACL one day.
Like he might have already tore it and still came back.
Right,
it's like Kobe on, did. Man. Like, hey. Shout out to Dub C.
Yeah, any nigga that can rock three braids in his beard.
Straight up. I'm trying to get to that level of beard.
Man, I can't even grow a beard. I can, but I got two grays of hair on my face. And, like, if I tried to grow a chin strap, it literally would look like a nigga who helmet got messed up because of the way my shit grow. I'm dead serious.
At least you still got hair. I ain't had a hairline since 24. My son like that.
Oh, yeah, I rub it in. Hey, I rub it in the face of the follicly challenged. Hey, that's what I call y'all, the follicly challenged. But I'm the leader of the smooth face clique. My Peter Pan ass. I can't grow no fucking beard.
Follicly challenged.
I got man, my motherfucking sons look like lumberjacks compared to me and shit. You motherfuckers see me and them, they be like, damn.
That ain't your son, man. They got beards, man.
They ain't had no gray. Motherfuckers don't see the gray.
You don't look old enough to have sons with beards, man.
Man, my oldest son will be 30 in January.
You don't look like bro.
Thanks a lot. I always try to tell people, you don't want to have, you don't want to do it like we did and had the kids young. Mm-hmm. Even though it keeps you looking young as long as you're active in your child life. I know you talk about your child a lot.
Mm-hmm.
How old is your son?
He's 10.
10 years old.
10 going on 40.
When his birthday?
His birthday, May 12th, man.
I used to be a different kind of parent. I used to feel like once that child hit 11, 12, 13 years old, this should be my mentality. I've had this conversation with a couple of guys. He's waiting on that time to get stalled in his chest.
Yes.
I used to feel like that until I got older and a little wiser, and it's just it depends on that child. And the limit that he's pushing. Because I got to a point where it's like, you know what, I really want to get to a point where there's no physicalness with my kids. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to discipline you while talking to you. And let's understand talking. Let you understand talking and not understanding how that got to be violence.
See, I think that's dope because me and his mother, we differ with that because I don't feel like you need to whoop a kid like that. I caught a lot of whoopings. And I get it. I get what it's about. But it's not necessary. I don't think all that physical, like you said, is necessary. Like, I could take something from you that's going to hurt you.
Perfect example. Perfect example. 10 years old, 11 years old. You fucking with me? And I'm your dad? All right. You can play the game. Can't use your thumbs. If I catch you using your thumbs, you're going to have an issue. You know what I'm saying? Now, play the motherfucking game now. You want to be smart? You want to act all crazy and shit? Play the game now. But you can't use your thumbs. And I bet not see you place that motherfucker on your thigh or nothing. Play that motherfucker like this then. You can always outsmart them motherfuckers.
True.
You know what I'm saying? I got to the point, I tell my son, I just made my son start working out. But I make him work out in like a couple of layers of clothes. You know what I'm saying? Are you hungry? Here, drink some of this warm water.
See, my son like to play the video game, so I go do some yard work.
Oh, there you go. You can play, just don't use your thumbs. That's all. When he figured that out, that's what I'm saying. If you figure out a way to play that game without using your thumbs,
you cold.
You know what you just, that's what I'm saying. You just showed me a
you
whole
nother. Unlocked a whole nother level in your head.
Right. Now we all know you a real smart motherfucker. You just tripping right now. You figured out a way to straight up play and excel at this game with no thumbs.
You a bad. See, that's why you a better father than me because I'm petty. Like, with my son on some serious stuff, I get on the game. I'll play his game. Tell him he's on punishment. Play his game. Get his headset. Talk to his little friends on there and tell him that why he can't play the game.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one, too. That's a good one too. If I play games,
I don't. That's the thing. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just talking shit to kids. Well, apparently teenagers and grown men, because his voice deep. Like, as I tell everybody, like, his voice real deep. Like, so he sound like he about 15, 16 for real.
Wow.
He be like, yeah. I'm like, dude, you 10.
So you get into online squabbles.
Dude, he had a kid from Baltimore. Seriously, they sent his address to my son in the inbox on the game. Thomas, man, I want to fight you. I said, off words? What you tell him? I said, somebody's grandma did. Oh, wow. You can't do that. Wow.
Man, I'm so glad we got a chance to do this evening. Absolutely. We're going to have to cut this short and get her and
do some work this evening. Yeah, hear some comedy and
put some work in.
And get some of this chicken because I got to put my order in.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Shout out to Black Charles. And we're going to continue this episode later on.
Absolutely.
Before we do go, though, let the people know your social media tags.
You can find me on social media at get_these_jokes. On Instagram, you can find me on Facebook, Comedian Black Chores. And look for the blackest chores you can find out there. It's going to be me.
Right on. That's great. Learn Some Podcast. We'll be back in a minute. Back with part two. Comic special tonight. Learn Something Podcast. We have another comedian tonight. Once again, presenting to some, introducing to others, Brother Akhtar Muhammad.
What's going on, man?
Yeah, man, we have a nice show tonight. Just in case anyone was wondering, tonight is Wingin' Wednesday. We just had to have a nice, successful show. A lot of different comedians came through, heard a lot of different styles of comedy, different kinds of comedy, as far as joke telling. And it was a nice experience. Like I said, we struggling. We just starting. Getting my feet on the ground with this, and just to get your take on things for tonight, and just where you at right now with your comedy career.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely, man. So, I guess first and foremost, so I've been doing comedy now for a little over a year. I started January of 2019. So it's a little over a year for me. And I honestly just know and feel that things are headed in the right direction, man. I've been blessed to work with some awesome people. I've been blessed to also do some awesome things. I think the biggest highlight of my career thus far is opening up for the one and only TK Kirkland. So that was like the biggest highlight of my career thus far. And I plan to do it again. You know, I'm just gonna manifest it, man. Just put it out there, and I would love to do it again.
How soon after you started doing comedy did you get a chance to open up for TK?
So I'll say I was about 6 months in the game.
Damn, that's a huge blessing.
Yeah, about 6 months in the game. It was crazy how it happened, man. God just works in mysterious ways. Just real briefly how it happened. I was going to Atlanta to just network one weekend, and I was supposed to open up for someone else. I'm not going to put that person's name out there, but some things kind of got, I don't know, but I didn't end up opening up for that person. TK Kirkland just so happened to be in town that weekend performing, and at the end of his show, you know, my brother and I, we attended the show that night. At the end of his show, I told my brother, I said, man, I'm going to go up and talk to him. You know, so I went up and talked to him, told him a bit about myself, told him that I was in town just visiting. And he was just like, you want to open up for me? And my mouth just dropped. So I ended up, you know, sacrificing staying another day because I wasn't going to pass up that opportunity, man. So I sacrificed staying another day in Atlanta just to be a part of the opportunity and open up for Mr. Kirkman. You know, it was a blessing.
Like myself, I'm a strong believer in science.
Yeah.
That's something that would show you. You know what I'm saying? If you were wondering, like, you know, should I be doing this, or how long? You know what I'm saying? And for something like that to happen, that's you know. So for people who don't know who TK Kirkland is, you know he's a stand up comedian. He's been in the game for incredibly long time.
To the motherfucking tag.
For him to offer you that spot. For people who, like I say, who don't understand, that shit like that don't happen.
Yeah, it was, man, and
especially like, for someone fresh to the game like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
That's how I know how much of a blessing that was, and for like I said, like you say, for you to just be like, you know, I'm gonna go and talk to him.
Yeah, you know, and he was a much bigger name than the person I was initially supposed to open up for. So. That was,
it's almost in a sense like that was supposed to happen.
It was supposed to happen, yeah. Everything happened for a reason, so it was, yeah.
You went down there for that other reason, but
yeah,
I was actually already moving in a different way, in a way that you didn't even know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that's so great. Who would you say would be your comedic influences?
Oh my God, I definitely look up to Mr. Kirkland, man. I've watched him for years. But I like Bernie, man. I like Mike Epps. Just their style, they're like really kind of nonchalant about it when they go out on stage, you know, recipes Bernie Mac. But they had that attitude where they just didn't give a fuck, you know. I ain't cussing her, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. But they just didn't give a fuck, man, when they went out on stage, and that's kind of how I feel about it. You know, I try not to hold back when I'm going out there, and I'm just trying to give it to them raw and the best way I can, man. You know?
Now, would you consider yourself, I asked Black Charles this earlier, would you consider yourself someone who's always been funny, or your class clown? Did you get used in conduct?
I come from a background, I was also a DJ, man, well, I still am. You know, I've been DJing 20 years, and I've always just considered myself to be that laid back, you know, type of guy. But it's like, once I started doing comedy, I really just started opening up more. You know, it really wasn't much for me to get on that stage because I'm already used to being in front of people, you know, with being a DJ. Okay. So, I kind of say that I am. I've always considered myself to be an introvert, you know.
I am also.
Yeah, I'm an introvert, man. I got to really be comfortable around you to start talking to you. But, I'm pretty open when I get up there on that stage. I always describe it as it's like a switch that you turn on and turn off. You know, especially if it's something I'm getting paid for. If people came to see me and they paid to see me, I'm going to give them all that I got.
with every performance. That's always my way of thinking going in.
That's great to know. Now, one thing on the Learn Something podcast, whenever I hear a subject or anything that clicks in my head that I know that needs to be discussed solely within our community or anything, it's like, I feel like, you know what, man, we're going to drop everything and we're going to talk about what we discussed. One point of what you just said, you made a couple of different points, but it was something that was one of them. I'm a weed smoker, and it like a thought that left my mind real quick. I'm trying to think of it because it was like three things you said, but one of them was like really poignant. What did you say? You said, this sucks. I'm trying to remember what you said, and you just said it, and it was that important. Damn. I would ask you to repeat what you said.
I'm trying to think. So being a DJ for 20 years, I was really already used to being in front of people. So it was really nothing for me to get up there and start doing comedy.
It was like something, and you just said it. Damn.
I always give it all I got, you know, when I get up there on the stage.
Oh, duh. See, I'm a loser. The part about being an introvert.
Okay.
And that, like I said, it made me want to just drop everything because, like I said, I actually identify with being an introvert myself. Mm-hmm. And it, like a lot of people don't understand, it takes one to know one.
Yeah.
And when you come across somebody with that same trait, you know, it's like, damn, motherfuckers don't get us. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's like, they be thinking that, standoffish and all of that, and it's like, man, that's not what it is. Yeah. It's just, man, I'm used to me.
Right.
You know what
right,
I'm saying? I don't fuck with y'all, but right. Goddamn.
Right, you know? Right.
But at the same time, to be able to be blessed with having extrovert qualities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the extreme extroverts, they don't really understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And, they can't really understand introvert qualities like that.
Yeah.
You know, we might have to wrap this up in a second. I think we're getting ready to go, but we still could continue this on. Because I can always add things, although I'm not ready for the purposes yet anyway.
Okay.
Because I do want to continue this interview.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'm enjoying this. You know, I appreciate every opportunity, man. We gotta get you on that stage because a lot of people don't know. I got history, but we go back a little bit.
I be trying to remember, man. Was that 03?
I don't remember the exact year yet, man. But when I tell y'all, the host, Mr. Hill, right here, was hilarious. You know, when we first met, the dude, like, kept... I was looking forward to coming to class just to hear you speak, bro. Because you would, like, keep me... I didn't even end up doing anything, you know, with that field. You know, that we were going to school.
I didn't either.
For.
I'm going to tell you what. You know how when we came in, they said you can come in the system dirty, but you had to leave clean.
Mm.
My system was so dirty as far as the weed. They tested everybody and they had different levels.
Mm.
And they had like people who were recreational, people who just had social. And then they had people like me who had a problem,
okay.
Supposedly. Okay. So. I don't know if you knew this. I don't know if you remember. It was like an Arab dude.
Yeah, I remember him.
Me and him was like the top two dudes in the class.
He was smoking?
No. Remember the first part of the class, we would do math.
Yeah.
And the second part of the day, we would go down and work in the bay.
Yeah.
But if your system was dirty, they wouldn't let you operate power tools.
Okay, yeah, right.
Me and the Arab dude was the number one and two dudes in the math part.
Yeah.
But... since my system was dirty, I couldn't operate power tools. He could operate the tools.
Okay.
My system didn't get clean until the seventh week. Let them know how many weeks the class was.
That week, man.
It was 8 weeks.
That class was a good 8 weeks, man.
It was 8 weeks. My system didn't get clean until the seventh week.
Oh,
dog.
My God.
Now, remember how we used to go on field trips every Friday to try to figure out what field you wanted to pick?
Yeah.
Dog, the administrators were getting mad at me. They're like, are you still smoking? I'm like, man, y'all don't know. I'm doing all kinds of shit to get my system clean. Remember we was going to the Y to work out?
Yeah.
I'm drinking pool water. I'm already in the hot tub, in the steam room at the regular gym I go to.
I'm really doing everything I can to get my system playing. They don't know none of this shit. I'm like, damn, man, what the fuck is going on? I'm not smoking. I can't. I'm trying to sweat this shit out in like two different saunas at Bally's and at the YMCA. My system would not get clean at all. I'm like, damn, man, what? I had never been clean before. And this is coming like out at probably about 12 or 13 years of straight just smoking.
Wow.
A couple of years I had stopped, but for the most part just smoking. So my system was never clean.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was not. Oh, I had to get a job. But for the most part, it was just like that. So I'm like, damn. So they like, and you know, you tripping. I'm all like, hey. So after the seventh week, my shit finally got clean. They like, man, y'all finna graduate. So I never did really get a chance to pick a field. So I went on like one or two interviews. Nobody was fucking with me because I ain't had no experience. And it was finna turn winter.
Yeah.
So I'm like, man, I need to get back to the field. I know I went back to travel. I'm like, man, I got a family. I got to make me some money.
Uh-huh.
So this, that wasn't working. So that's what happened with CPC.
Yeah. For real. It's kind of the same story for me. I really did the program, man, for my mother. You know, I knew I wasn't a construction guy, but she wanted me to get into it, so I kind of did it to please her. Didn't end up doing anything with it. And I think it was only really one guy that came out of that class.
Man, I was gonna go into the because I wasn't no carpenter.
Yeah,
I was gonna be the maintenance guy of the job site.
The foreman.
I forget. He's under the carpenter. But you got to have carpenter skills though. But the dude that hold the slow stop sign, that dude, I wanted to be that guy. That was my life goal, to get paid $28 an hour to hold a sign that says slow and stop.
Okay.
Because I'm like, I'm not going to be no electrician. I'm not doing none of that. If anything, I'll do HVAC. That shit seems simple.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, but the course was cool. The stuff that it needed to teach us, I really didn't need some of the things. You know what I'm saying? Actually, what was ironic, when I was a mailman, Mr. My D stayed on my route.
What?
Yeah, I delivered to Mr. My D every day. Every day. I mean, he lived on the first beat of my route.
Wow.
And the guy who taught math, the old head.
Ali, what's his name? Ali?
I can't remember his name. He passed a few years ago. He stayed right over here on Vernon. On the 5100 block of Vernon.
He would always stay mad, man. That's my father.
And that was a smart ass man.
He was intelligent.
Anybody who teaches math or science, it's damn near brilliant.
Yeah, he was very intelligent, but that motherfucker kept attitude.
Yeah, he taught math at I found out he taught math at for this adult education over around the corner here. You know, when people trying to go and get their GED,
mm-hmm.
He taught math in there. Actually, he was that nice with it. He just, like you said, he was a cantankerous. Oh,
yeah,
that would be a better word, cantankerous.
Yeah, yeah.
In other words, for the layman, grouchy.
Yeah. So
no, but getting back to what we're discussing though, mm-hmm. as far as comedy once again, but you know, it's just it seems as though, you know, we're all fresh to the game, even though, you know, even our open mic that we hosting,
mm-hmm.
you being new to the game, Black Charles new to the game, I noticed like being on Facebook trying to become friends with a lot of different comedians to try to help get us some more exposure.
Right.
I noticed that you are affiliated with a local crew called the Black Pack.
The Black Pack, yeah.
If you can expound on that for people who don't know.
Yeah, so the Black Pack, if my answer will probably be too bad because I don't know much, but I know it's a group of comics and they started this organization. I'm not sure how long they've been doing things, but they host an open mic, I know, each and every Thursday, and I'm always supporting them on Thursday because a lot of those guys come down here to support, you know, this mic. So, yeah, they're doing some pretty big things, you know, right now, and I just look at how they move. It kind of goes back to me being an introvert. I've never really been like the type that I'm like work with a group of people.
I know what you know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, I've always been like the solo type, so you know, big ups to what they're doing because they have like a movement going on. I have a movement going on too, but I'm more by myself with everything, you know. But they have a movement, and it really it really helps, you know, when you have more than one person, you know, like pushing what you're trying to do, because you got, you know, more than one person just putting it out there. But
I would look at it also, like you said, but before I go further on that point, I'm used to being like that as far as when I was coaching basketball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and what you mean is like not being cliquish, like, you know, not clicking up with people.
Right.
Used to being the quote unquote lone wolf, the black sheep.
Right. You know what
I'm saying? Rolling in my own lane.
Right.
And what I've noticed as far as their organization is concerned, mm-hmm. and what I'm sure sometimes you have to deal with is self doubt.
Yeah.
And you know, if you got a crew or a team, almost like a rap crew,
mm-hmm.
you know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? Like Wu Tang mm-hmm. or something. Yeah. It's like, you know, sometimes, man, I might not be feeling my own shit, and I might need somebody to tell me, "Hey, man, you still, you cool, you good, you cool." You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Right.
Just keep pushing. You know, or your shit might have been only halfway funny tonight. Whatever. Fuck them, man. You know you funny. I know you funny. We know you funny.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess, you know, it did become a time where you had to weigh up. Where motherfucker got to be like, you know what, man? I guess I might have to assimilate.
Yeah.
To some degree.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because it got to be very hard in the comedy thing to just be rolling solo.
Yeah.
It's when you just getting your feet in the door and, you know, you're trying to connect, make connections, and at the same time, you're trying to make sure you're funny.
Right.
You know what
right,
I'm
right.
saying?
Right.
So it's like, you know, some those days or nights when you have that self-doubt, to be good. You know, I notice I see a lot of different guys communicating with each other on Facebook, just, you know, giving them quick shout out or keep your head up, something like that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of times it's being an artist, you know, that's what keeps a lot of artists from progressing or whatever, because they have to deal with a lot of self-doubt.
Yeah. Yeah. Now that's another amazing thing I like about, you know, knowing those guys, is we are able to feed off each other and just network, you know what I'm saying? So although I'm not a part of the organization, you know, we still have our moments where I may get some feedback from them, and they, you know, they may have times where they come to me, you know, ask me for you know, feedback of a performance or something that they may have done in the past, or, you know, at an open mic. So, but that's why these open mics are so important, man, you know, for us as artists to get out and just perfect our craft. So not only are we just getting out to perfect our craft, but it also uses an opportunity to network, you know. There may have been some new faces down here that I haven't met yet, but I'm always that person that doesn't have a problem, you know, introducing myself to you. You know, I feel that's very important, you know, in this business, because you have to get out and shake some hands, you know, network,
right,
and get to know new people, you know.
Now, before we go further, mm-hmm. I'm going to give a quick shout out to my sponsor, to myself, St. Louis. Hottest Wings in St. Louis, 5249 Delmar, 6108 St. Louis. Before we go any further, make sure you drop your social media tags.
Yeah, social media. So Facebook, you can go to Comedian Oktab Muhammad. That's Comedian, AKHTAB, Muhammad, MUHAMMAD. That's Facebook. Then Instagram is Muhammad the Artist, all one word, Muhammad the Artist on Instagram. I do have a Twitter page, but I'm not on Twitter like that. Facebook and Instagram is my go-to social media outlets.
It's like I got a Twitter page and an Instagram page, but I'm mainly on Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, but let's get back to the comedy world. As a matter of fact, mm-hmm. I had a guy that shared, I still haven't seen Dave Chappelle from Saturday Night Live this past week. I'm waiting to see it. I've been busy and shit. Still haven't got a chance to see. I don't know if you've got a chance to see any of it.
I saw a piece of it, not the whole thing, but I saw like 5 minutes, the first 5 minutes of it.
Well, the monologue?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I haven't seen anything. I haven't even heard one bit.
Yeah, I saw like the first 5 minutes. I didn't watch the whole thing all the way through, but Dave Chappelle is definitely one of the greats, man. He's dope, you know, when it comes to this comedy thing. It's just like Sid and Mike that I mentioned earlier, he gets on that stage and he just doesn't give a fuck. You know, so doing the monologue, I'll tell you this bit, and I'll let you watch the rest of yourself. He mentioned that he was nervous when he first came out there on that stage. It was hard for me to tell, you know, that he was nervous, because he's so natural with it. So that's probably the most I can get about that. I'll let you watch it for yourself. Oh, okay. But yeah, Dave Chappelle's definitely a dope in this thing, man. Definitely one of the you know, the funny people that I look up to, you know, in this business. So
all right, well I'm glad we got a chance to at least get a chance to talk about some comedy tonight. Mm-hmm. And we're gonna definitely get a chance to do this again. I'm gonna wrap this episode up right now.
Right.
But we definitely gonna bring this back.
Absolutely. I can't wait. I'm definitely looking forward to it. And I thank you, Too Much Styles, Wing It Wednesdays. And I'm humbled by this opportunity. I appreciate every opportunity because I am up and coming. You know, just grinding and trying to get my name out there as much as possible. So I always thank you guys, you know, Legacy Books. I appreciate this opportunity.
Gonna wrap this episode up right now. Podcast. We'll be back with you shortly. Thank you.
Thank you.